I'd like to order the meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and the mixed vegetables. What type of dressing do you have? No, I don't like ranch. Give me the Italian vinaigrette. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah. Uh-huh. No, just a glass of water. Great. Thank you.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Chat.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. If there's anything I love to do, and there isn't, it's ordering food. Walking through a supermarket, walking past the meat case, with the hamburger meat and the chicken and the lamb and the turkey and the fish. That's like Disney World to me. It's like you can take your haunted mansion and your castle there, your castle of Tomorrowland of Spaghetti Land, whatever, and your magic mountains. You can take all those things and shove them because I love walking through a supermarket. And it's also nice to walk into a restaurant, sit down, have someone come over to the table and say, "Can I get you some food?" One might say I'm obsessed with food. I am not. I am not obsessed with food. I do not eat all day. But I just love the possibilities. I love the possibilities of food. So I started off today's show by ordering a meal, which shall be delivered to me by a team of food specialists after the program. And that's the carrot before my horse. Welcome to the show. How are you? Can I get you anything? Would you like a bowl of chips or something? Would you like some popcorn?
Would you like some popcorn?
Would you like a vegetable tray? You like that, don't you? With the vegetables, the celery and the carrots and the broccoli. Why are you listening to this, by the way? Why are you bothering? I'm not telling you to go somewhere else or to stop listening. I'm just wondering why. I got I get my mail every day, which is what happens. There's this mail truck, this funky little jeepy kind of mail truck that I loved to play with when I was a kid. Not the real truck, but the toy truck thing. But every day in front of my studio, a mail truck pulls up with all kinds of mail and things like that. A lot of it's junk mail, and junk mail means I don't even care to open it or look at it. I'm getting magazines that I never even ordered. I'm getting magazines that I shouldn't be getting, like women's underwear collection. I don't wear women's underwear. I don't buy women's underwear, and I don't collect them. I think that's for a lady. Yet it's addressed to me for some reason. How did this happen? I have no subscriptions whatsoever to any magazine at all. I dislike magazines. They scare me. They smell. I don't like them. Did you ever sniff a magazine? Yeah, nah, they don't smell good. Unless you open up to the perfume page, you scratch and sniff that thing. Why aren't there any scratch and sniff porno magazines, huh? Huh? Want to go into business with a scratch and sniff porno magazine? Well, I can't because I have a reputation. You have no reputation. Your life is pretty much, you know what I'm saying? What's the point? So why don't you do that? Why don't you start that? I don't know of any. I mean, I wouldn't know of any if there were any, but I haven't heard of it. That would be something. Ooh, little business idea for you. That was free. That was free. If it works out, please send me some money as a result, like a small percentage, because I came up with the idea. How about a business deal like that? I give you ideas, you carry them out, and you give me a percentage of it. Yeah, that'll happen. The hell was I talking about? Oh, so I get the mail delivery. Whew, wow. I get the mail delivery, and I open up the mailbox there, and it's tons of magazines. And I'm getting checks in the mail now. There are envelopes with those little number 10 window envelope things. And it says, and you can see the check inside, says paid to the order of, and it's got my name. And I'm figuring, well, I'm opening this up no matter what it is. I don't care if it's junk mail or a real check. We're going to see what's going on in this little envelope. And you open it up, and it's usually from a bank, and it says paid to the order of Ron Van Dam, $10,000. And I'm thinking, well, you know, what are we doing here? Who are you trying to dupe here? And you open it up, and it's from like Citizens Bank or something. And they say, if you take a loan out and you're approved, this check can be yours, or one that will be real as opposed to this fake one. But I get mad, you see, And now I'm saying to myself, I'm not dealing with you. You are trying to manipulate me. And I do not like to be manipulated. If anybody on the phone or anybody through junk mail tries to sell me something through manipulation of extreme measures, like sending me a check which is not real, and is marketing to savor my saliva, I will not deal with you. You don't play me. I don't get played. You ain't playing me. So try your little marketing scams, why don't you? See how far you get with good old Ron and with my listeners. We're all smart people. We don't put up with that crapola. So I'm opening up my mail. Unfortunately, there are no bills in there. That's pretty much what I do. I go through the mail to see if there are any bills, and if there are, I separate them, and I try to separate them in my mind. I get something like, seriously, without joking around, which is impossible for me to do, I get usually 25 to 30 pieces of mail every single day, of which two or three pieces out of the 25 or 30 pieces are possibly a correspondence of some sort that I would want, or a bill or an invoice. Everything else is total, pure, unfiltered junk. People wanting things from me. Look, I know that there are people starving, and there are dogs that look like they haven't eaten in 5 weeks, and they're being euthanized, and I know people are dying in countries and things like that, and I know all of that, and I know that there are political funds to help defeat the other political parties, and I know all of that. I'm aware of it. I know that there are horrible things going on all around me. You make me quite aware of that, that there are people dying from horrible diseases, and they need my support, and they need my financial aid, and I got to support public television stations and public radio stations and public benches and support my town. And I know that, but here's the deal. I got to support myself first. If there's any extra left over, I'm going to kind of put it in the bank and support myself later. And I do a lot of charity work. I do donate. I do, basically for tax purposes, but I do it. I donate clothes. I don't even wash my underpants anymore. I just throw them in a bag and give them to the, you know what I'm saying? That's not true. I do wash them first. And I know I don't give, I throw away underwear. I don't give it to people. I wouldn't wish that upon my greatest enemy. I wouldn't. I hate your guts. I can't stand you. Here, take a pair of my underpants. Ah, I can't. I can't even do that to you. I can't do that. Give me the underpants back. I can't even do that. You're my darkest, deepest enemy. I can't, but I can't give you my underpants. That's just horrible. That's just awful. That's just unacceptable. So I know all of this, but I'm bombarded by all of this in the mail every day. Here's the one piece of mail which really angers me. And it's an envelope from the March of Dimes. Now, you're probably saying, uh-oh, Ron, you're treading on some kind of weird radio talk show waters here. You know what the March of Dimes is, don't you, Ron? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. It's research for a horrible string of diseases, and they need my money to help solve it, and the monies of other people. I do get it. But they have chosen a path of manipulation that I shall not tolerate. And I've been talking about this for almost 20 years now, but it doesn't stop. So I shall not participate. Now, I'm not saying anything nasty about the March of Dimes, but I am saying that their collection campaign confuses me and somewhat angers me. Here's why. I open up the envelope from the March of Dimes, and inside is a dime. A real dime. Not a phony dime, not a phony check, but a real, honest-to-goodness 10 cents. Spendable 10 cents. And they never really explain this dime, but they do ask for my contribution to the March of Dimes, with a return envelope sometimes. They'll even print out a return envelope for me. But I don't understand why you're sending me a dime. It makes no sense. I assume I'm not the only person in the country who received a dime in the mail. I believe that if I received a dime, then almost everybody in the country received a dime. I don't know how many addresses there are in the United States. There's a little over 300 million people living in this country, as I understand it. Of those, some are children, some are couples. So I'm guessing you're sending out 100 million dimes every year or every 6 months. At least $100 million, no, not $100 million, but 100 million dimes. 100 million dimes is a considerable amount of money. It's more than $1 million. Had you not sent out a dime to everybody, you could have had $1 million. You're giving away money. Now, I don't know if it's $1 million, but it's a huge amount of money that you're sending out to everybody. I did an interview with the March of Dimes about 6 months ago. And it was about the March of Dimes. And at the end of the interview, I said to them, why do you, and you know, you're not supposed to do this, by the way. When you're interviewing people on a radio show, you're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to go beyond the parameters of the interview that could possibly make them look bad. Because that's not the purpose of why they're on the show. Everybody I interview is out to promote something, which is fine. I get it. I get it. So I asked this lady representing the March of Dimes at the interview. I said to her, why do you send out a dime to everybody? Isn't that counterproductive? When you're trying to collect money, why are you sending everybody a dime? How does that work? And she says, it's been a campaign of ours for quite some time, and it's very successful. People tend to send back much more than a dime when they receive a dime. And I didn't respond. But in my head, I'm saying to myself, oh, really? Oh, do they now? And I guess they do. Otherwise, they wouldn't continue this weird campaign of sending out dimes to everybody. And I didn't pursue the conversation because there was no point. Sometimes you have to just realize in life, there's no point to pursuing certain things. If someone is hell-bent on doing something and it works for them, then just shut up. Well, leave them alone. It's working for you? Good. Who am I to tell you that it's stupid? If it's working for you, then good. We've got nothing to discuss. But you haven't changed my mind. Because what the March of Dimes is doing by sending me a dime in the mail is trying to manipulate me. You're trying to tap on my guilt. Oh, look, they sent me a dime. The least I can do is send it back. The problem is, sending it back costs me more than a dime in postage, considerably more than a dime in postage. And then we're just wasting money, and the post office is making money. I am not the kind of person where you send me a dime and I say to myself, oh my goodness, you've gone to the trouble of sending me a dime. I will send you the dime back plus $100. Sorry. That's dealing with me out of guilt. And I don't play that. Homie, don't play that game. It's a stupid campaign. It's just a stupid campaign, no matter how you slice it. Here's the difficult part of this whole thing, though, and I think you can appreciate this being a fine human being yourself, such as I am. So now I have this dime from the March of Dimes. The hell do I do with it? Now, if I pocket the dime and spend it, then I'm a horrible person. I am the dregs of the earth. I am the center of the universe, hell. I cannot pocket this dime. It's wrong. So what do I do with it? Here's the plan that I've devised. I haven't followed through with it yet, but I've devised the plan. I take all these dimes, I put them in a jar. I keep them separate. Someday when I've collected about $10 worth of dimes, I go to the bank, I deposit it in the bank, and I write a check for $10, and I send it to the March of Dimes. It looks like a hefty donation. Now it's worth the postage stamp, yet all I'm doing is returning their dimes to them, and they don't even know the difference. Oh, look, Ron Van Dam sent us $10. Oh, isn't he nice? Okay, you schmuck. These are your dimes that I'm giving back to you, is all they are. I haven't contributed a cent to you. I'm returning your dimes. Oh, he's such a great contributor. He's one of our top contributors. No, I'm just returning your dimes. That's what I plan to do, although I never really do it. So, Ron, what do you do with these dimes that they send you in the mail? I don't know. I don't know what happens to them. I don't put them aside. I don't spend them. I don't know where they are. I don't know. I really seriously don't know. I don't know what happens to them. March of Dimes, you're just screwing me up, man. You're playing with my head. Stop sending me dimes. Stop sending me dimes. I guess in the back of my mind, in the horrible part of the back of my mind, I'm saying to myself, why can't you make it the March of Dollars? That would be nice. Then I'd really feel horrible. If you sent me a dollar in the mail, that might be significant for me. Because I would take the dollar and send it back, and then it would be worth the postage. Or I might send you some extra money, and it might actually be effectual. If that's a word, I don't think it is. But sending me a little dime, you're just pissing me off is what you're doing. Now, to many of you, I probably sound like a horrible person. It's pretty much the end of the sentence.
Raise your hand if you're ready for more of the Ron Van Dam Show.
Wow. I have never seen so many fucking masochists in one place in my life.
Well, we're coming close to the first 100 days of the Trump administration, and a lot of people, including myself, are just going nuts. I don't know if the guy's going to start a World War III or whether he's going to wake up in the morning and tell me that Rosie O'Donnell is fatter than he thought she was. I really don't know what he's going to do. He needs to be removed big time. And there are a lot of people that are really suffering from the fact that this guy's president. He's just driving them crazy and making them feel very sick and very unstable. It's true, and it's almost a disease.
Do you find yourself feeling depressed, hopeless, having trouble sleeping, struggling with frequent panic attacks, irritability, constant arguments with family?
I know Dad did too. I know that.
Friends, or even friends of friends on Facebook. Yelling at your phone or computer screen.
Unbelievable.
And the constant urge to pull out your hair. If any of these sound familiar, you may be suffering from TIAD, or Trump-induced anxiety disorder. Impeachara may help. Impeachara is a prescription medication that may alleviate many symptoms of TIAD. Impeachara works on your brain's neurotransmitters and optical receptors, convincing you that Donald Trump has already been impeached. Not all patients have the same reactions, and results may vary.
Okay.
Side effects may include elation, the ability to focus on work and family again, and reconnecting with people you called ignorant fuckfaces on social media.
Boom.
Women that are pregnant or nursing should ask their doctor, as well as their state legislators, if they are allowed to take this medicine. Impeachara is not approved for children or adolescents under voting age, and should not be taken by those in favor of the current administration, for it may cause thoughts of suicide or spontaneous bowel movements. In rare cases, people have developed a skin condition known as Cheeto face. Tell your doctor right away if you have thoughts of comb-overs or experience a reduction in the size of your hands. Before you decrease or stop taking Impeachara, make sure you have disabled instant news alerts on all of your mobile devices.
Things got pretty dark there for a while, but thanks to Impeachara, I've elected to be happy. Nice shot.
Talk to your doctor to see if Impeachara might be right for you.
Go again.
Also, do it fairly soon before you lose your health insurance.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. We do this every single freaking weekday. If it's a weekday, we got a new show for you. So please make me a habit. I don't mean like Betsy Ross, you should sit down at a sewing machine and make me a habit that nuns wear. I'm saying, listen to the show every day. Make that a habit. And I will appreciate that because through the network that I deal with, they pay me according to the number of listeners. So help put food in my mouth. And I love that idea. You can hear this program on whatever device you're listening to it now by going to newenglandbroadcasting.com or iTunes, those Apple people, or you can go to TuneIn Radio, or there are quite a few other podcast networks that carry this show, and some radio stations too when I'm not cursing, which I don't do frequently, but I do have to edit it out for FCC broadcast, which limits my ability, but not greatly, because I don't curse that much. I really don't.
Thank you.
That's Jason Shaw. He does our theme music and other incidental music on this program. Jason Shaw, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to The Big Show by Sean Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
No, I don't. Brian Vickers is a NASCAR driver. And he and an Olympic swimmer join us now. NASCAR driver Brian Vickers joins us and Olympic swimmer Katie Hoff. And we're talking about, life-threatening blood clot diseases and the awareness thereof. How did the both of you get hooked up into this particular cause?
Well, it started with a trip to the hospital. It's unfortunate. Actually, it started with me largely ignoring every single warning sign to go to the hospital, even a doctor telling me I should go to the emergency room. And through tremendous pain in my lungs from a pulmonary embolism and, and a DVT in my legs, and ultimately got so bad, I finally went to the emergency room, and it almost cost my life. And the reason I tell that little start there is because it's relevant to why we're here, which is, you know, 100,000 people a year die from DVT and pulmonary embolism related deaths, and you know, a lot of it is because they you know, maybe they don't get to the hospital soon enough. I know that was almost the case for me. So we really encourage people, if they think something is wrong, to go see a doctor. And we're very blessed to have found each other through this cause, and Janssen, who's partnered with us to help raise awareness about this. We've told our whole story where we have more time on a website called treatmyclot.com. And if you go there and watch that, Janssen will donate to the National Blood Clot Alliance, to help raise awareness for this 100 days. To raise awareness for the 100,000 people who lost their lives. So that's how we ended up here. That's how the start of it. And I'll let Katie tell a little bit of her story, how she got here. But for me, that's how it started.
Okay. Katie?
For me, it was slightly different, but, you know, very similar to Brian. I was way more focused on my sport and competing than my actual health, which is, you know, not advised. I took a long flight. I was getting ready for a big championship, and I felt this pain in my side, and I just kind of brushed it off as, you know, maybe it's a muscle strain, you know, I've pushed through worse, and, I was really, trying to compete, the pain was so intense I wasn't able to.
Right.
I ended up, you know, flying back, which is crazy to think that I, and then, you know, was misdiagnosed a few times, which is why, you know, I'm extremely passionate about this. Because I really want to empower people to have that awareness. They can, you know, really talk to their doctors and, you know, understand what's going on a lot faster than, you know, I did or Brian did.
In both your cases, it was sitting for long periods of time. My God, Brian, I mean, you're like sitting for long periods of time like crazy. Does that have a lot to do with this?
Well, the answer is it can, and it doesn't necessarily have to. For me, it was, when I went to the hospital the first time, much like Katie, all I could think about was getting back in the car, and the doctor was like, I don't think you understand the severity of your situation.
Yeah.
And we went through kind of like, what have you done recently that could have caused this? You know, have you been in a long car ride, a long flight, dehydrated, kind of down this list. I'm like, D, all of the above, it's kind of checked every box. So, and then there's always genetic factors and stuff, but again, it really just kind of goes back to what we always emphasize. If you think something's wrong, go see your doctor, and talk to your doctor about, obviously if it's a blood clot, then, there's always risk and benefits to every blood thinner. But for us, we were very fortunate. We landed, in our most recent clot, my first one, I was on warfarin, which came with all kinds of dietary restrictions and blood monitoring that really affected the way I lived my life. And then the second time I was on Xarelto, Cymbalta, and you know, and it was certainly the right medication for me. And but again, it's you know, through all this, I mean, we can talk about our story, and I really encourage people selfishly because I want to raise money for this great cause, National Blood Cause. But I really encourage people to go see our story because it's going to raise money for a great cause, but also because it is interesting to hear our stories, and I think it can help people when they're in that situation kind of see some of those signs and symptoms. But just because you don't have the same symptoms that we had doesn't mean that something's not wrong.
Yeah.
So it just always goes back to go see a doctor, go see a doctor, go see a doctor if you think something's wrong.
Yeah, the dilemma is at what point do you go see a doctor? Because as Katie said, Katie, you get muscle spasms all the time. It's very difficult to assess if it's something fairly normal, but I guess if it persists, then it is. You have to have it looked at. Brian, when you were filling out the form and it said, "Have you been on a long car drive?" You must have kind of like laughed a little bit.
I chuckled a little bit. he actually not only asked, I've been on a long car ride, and I was like, does 3.5 hours every weekend count?
Do you know?
Have you been in any car crashes? I was like, well, two this weekend. He was like, and then he was like, well, dehydrated. I was like, yeah. And long flight, he's like, yeah, 6 hours. And he was just like looking at me. He's like, what do you do? It was an entertaining, yet every experience, a moment in my life, an awakening, and I learned so much through it. And, you know, and in a lot of ways, you know, look, I tell people things happen for a reason. Don't feel sorry for me. A lot of great things have come from this.
Yeah.
You know, I've been able to partner with Janssen to raise awareness and hopefully save lives. It's made me a better person. I've met wonderful people like Katie. So, you know, life's not always, you know, roses, but it's, but all in all, it's turned out amazingly well for me. I'm very fortunate and very proud of this partnership.
Excellent. All right, one more time, where we can go for more information and how we can participate.
Yes, you can go to treatmyclot.com. So you can go on there, you can see my story in depth, you can see Brian's story in depth, you know, really go into the details. And the best part, like Brian said, you know, Janssen will donate money to the National Blood Clot Alliance, which, you know, we're very, very excited about.
Great. Well, thanks to the both of you for spreading the word about this and also for entertaining us happily for so many years. Thank you for that as well. And appreciate it. You take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. Good kids. They're good kids. I never thought that I would call them kids, but now compared to me, they are. That's a revelation I don't enjoy realizing. I've told this story so many times. I used to go into banks, you know, to open up an account or maybe even take out a loan in my younger days. And the bank officer would always be a crusty old man with a gray suit and a crusty old tie and, you know, hardly any hair left and horned rim glasses and a tough, tough-looking elderly man with great wisdom and great power and authority. Since then, times have changed. There are a lot of women bank officers. Weren't back then when I was going to banks, but there are now. And now when I go into a bank, I look over in that area where those crusty bank executives used to sit. And now they're like 40-year-old guys and 30-year-old women with as much power and authority, but they don't look crusty anymore. You know who looks crusty? I do. I'm the crusty-looking one. Yes, in my life, for most of the services that I sought as a younger man, everybody was older than me. Now, when I go in for services, they're either the same age or considerably younger than me. This is all the life cycle, ladies and gentlemen. And don't say, oh, Ron, that's horrible, because we all, without exception, go through that cycle. You too, someday soon, will recognize that everybody is starting to be younger than you all of a sudden, and you seem to be the older one in the room. It shall happen to you if you live that long. So we never disparage, ever, do we?
No, Ron, we don't. Stop lecturing us so much. I can't stand it when you lecture us.
Oh, okay. Excuse me for lecturing you. Hey, How about the March of $10 bills? How about that idea? How about that marketing idea? Every 6 months, you send me a $10 bill, and I'll send it back to you. How about that deal? Can't get over that March of Dimes thing. I just can't. I just can't. First of all, dimes don't march. They're inanimate monetary items. You can't even stand them up on their sides. They can't march if they wanted to. They lie flat eventually. Dimes don't march. Dimes don't march. Yet, for some reason, that's their campaign. I don't get it. How about rolling dimes? Not marching dimes. How about rolling dimes? They should have hired me to take care of the campaign for them. You don't send out money to people and expect them to send money back. You just...
But it works for us, Ron. You don't understand. That campaign works for us.
I guess it's me. I must have come from another universe. I must have come on some type of an alien craft. I don't remember being on an alien craft, but I guess I was. Because in many regards, I don't fit in with a lot of you. I don't fit in. I don't wear the same clothes. I don't think the same way. My ideas, my morals are different than yours. I don't know where I came from. I don't think it was the Deep South because I greatly regret them. I don't think it was from another country because I can't speak any other languages fluently. So it must be from another planet. But there are only a certain number of planets in the solar system, of which I guess they dwindle. I guess all of a sudden they find out it's not a planet. It's just a ball of gas. Well, guess what? Maybe I'm not a human being. Maybe I'm just a ball of gas. I certainly feel like it after I eat many kinds of meals. So maybe I'm interplanetary. Maybe I'm from another galaxy. Oh, yeah. But again, I don't remember the trip over here. I don't remember the driver of the UFO saying, if you look out of your left window, you'll see the Milky Way. I don't remember that. I don't remember it. I don't remember if the food was any good. I would remember that, but I don't remember that. So I'm not sure where I came from. I'm not sure at all. Somewhere. That's why a lot of us look to the stars to see what's going to happen to us, how our lives are going to change, what kind of things are in the wind, so to speak. Messages do the stars hold for us?
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's take a look and see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius, the stars say you'll soon find happiness and prosperity, but then I think I hear them giggling to each other. So maybe take that with a grain of organic fair trade salt. Pisces, your beautifully focused pursuit of meaning will soon lead you to a box of toaster pastries. Don't read too much into it, just enjoy some delicious toaster pastries. Aries, unfriend everyone on social media and start again. Choose better this time. Taurus, stop relying on WebMD. And get that thing checked out already. People are starting to talk. Gemini, you will soon face a fork in your career path. It'll be the fast food industry or amateur bondage porn, so choose wisely. Cancer, when Mercury goes retrograde and Pluto is ascendant in the house of Cassiopeia, make yourself a sandwich. It will be amazing. Leo, call your mom soon for interesting news. And by mom, I mean the real one. In prison? Virgo, you will soon win a very prestigious award. But beware, your acceptance speech will be interrupted by Kanye West. Do us all a favor and punch him right in the sack, okay? Douchebag. Libra, your lucky number is 26, and your lucky color is blue. Look for instances where they appear together, especially on Tuesdays. This could help cure you of your extreme gullibility. Scorpio, it's time to stop eating things on a dare. Capricorn, now that gay marriage has been legalized, perhaps it's time to take a really close look at exactly why you love musical theater so very much. Maybe? Think about it. This is Kip Starchild, and that is your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape for the month. Until next time, peace.
Oh my God. Wow. Wow. I'm out of time. I'll be back again tomorrow. Please join me then. Will you do that? I don't ask a lot of you. Hey, time for my meatloaf.